Blog Talk Radio.
The Ohio State University College of Food, Agriculture, and Environmental Science is a driving force throughout rural Ohio, and in particular, its South Centers located in Piketon, Ohio. The South Centers provides research and educational formats in a number of areas, including horticulture, fruits and vegetables, soil and bioengineering, aquaculture, and business development services. Dr. Tom Worley, director of South Centers, hosts the monthly South Centers Chat. Here's Tom.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another session of our South Centers Chat. It's a beautiful afternoon here in April in Rio Grande, Ohio, and we're pleased to host a session this afternoon that I think you'll find very, very interesting. We have my OSU colleague and, in short, former boss from OSU Extension, Dr. Keith Smith, with us this afternoon. And Keith is formerly the Vice President for Agricultural Administration, the Vice the Associate Dean for our College of Food, Ag, and Environmental Science, and the Director of OSU Extension. So he's not a stranger to Southern Ohio. His responsibilities for a number of years as the director were statewide. He's had a lot of experience here in this part of the state in lots of the topics that we're going to try to focus on this afternoon. So, Keith, we welcome you to Rio Grande and the South Center Chat.
I'm pleased to be here, Tom.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're very pleased to have Keith come down from Columbus today. And although Keith, I think, is coming up on about the one-year anniversary of his retirement when we get to the end of the fiscal year, June 30th, he is nevertheless, as fully expected, fully engaged and active, even as an emeriti in our college, and he resides within the Department of Agricultural Communication, Education, and Leadership, and as a faculty member, and actually is very well recognized nationally. We're going to get into a little bit of that, as well as holds the title of the GIST Chair in Leadership. And Keith, if you want to add anything about the background and your experience as director in this part of the state, that would be fine. But before we get into the GIST chair, maybe. But.
Well, thank you, Tom. And, yes, it is a pleasure to be down here. And I've been down to Southern Ohio a number of times, been on a foundation down here, commonly referred to as the Tobacco Foundation, working with Don Branson. Mm-hmm. And a number of great individuals that I really enjoyed. I'd come down here on a monthly basis to help sure. with that foundation as we helped farmers transition
mm-hmm.
From growing tobacco into other fields of agriculture, mm-hmm. and to help young people, especially with scholarships. That was one that I was particularly fond of. Is providing money for kids to go to school that were associated with tobacco farming in the past. And that was a real pleasure for me to actually have students end up at Ohio State mm-hmm. and other wonderful institutions like Rio Grande.
No doubt.
They came here as well, but providing that opportunity for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of your native sons, Bob Evans, I was very well associated with him, especially in my early years as the director.
Uh-huh.
Bob Evans was very supportive of our 4-H program, Canner's Cave, that's close here up in Jackson, and our 4-H program overall,
uh-huh.
He was very supportive of and provided a lot of funds and resources for our 4-H program.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, Bob was interested in agriculture, and he'd call myself and Bobby Mosier, who was the dean at, mm-hmm. in my early going as the extension director. And he was always after some innovative type of thing that he wanted to do in agriculture. One was cold season grasses that he wanted mm-hmm. us to work on so that he could have some grass for his Charolais cattle year-round.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was bothering us about that on occasion. But we've had wonderful programs down here in southern Ohio, been to many of the fairs. Probably during the course of my time as director over 24 years, I probably got all the fairs down here in southern Ohio. And so, yes, a wonderful part of the state.
Absolutely. Well, we're pleased that you would make the trip down to be with us here this afternoon. And I think part of the Bob Evans legacy, if you will, it resides on our campus in the 4-H Youth Development Building. Bob was a benefactor to help bring that into being.
Right. That's correct. Thank you, Tom. Yes, our $15.5 million 4-H building was sponsored, helped sponsored by Nationwide Insurance and also Farm Bureau that helped with that. But what I'm especially pleased with is the contributions from the 250,000 4-H kids across the state and the volunteers, over 20,000 volunteers that helped contribute funds to that building. And, yes, Bob Evans. Matter of fact, the auditorium, and I was in it yesterday with a group, the Bob Evans Auditorium, named after Bob. Again, he helped contribute to that as well. So, yes, his legacy lives on in his support of youth and agriculture.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I know that Bob was certainly a generous person with his success, and, of course, Ohio State's shared in that generosity, as has the University of Rio Grande and other philanthropic endeavors here in southern Ohio. And I think his wife goes right along with that, Jewel Evans, continues. So, Keith, talk a little bit then about your activities here that you continue on in our college with this Gist Chair in Leadership. Do you want to talk about maybe George Gist a little bit and kind of where that comes from and the background of how it got created and what that really means to be a holder of an endowed chair?
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Yeah, I'd be happy to speak to that. George Gist was a former director of Ohio State University Extension. Matter of fact, he was the director when I first came to Ohio State in 1980. And George retired and from that position, and Bobby Mosier came as the director and then moved up as dean of the college. And George was just enjoying retirement, and then George and his wife eventually passed away, and the person that was in charge of his estate was Clarence Cunningham. Mm-hmm. Clarence Cunningham was a former associate director of Extension, and Clarence came in to see me one day and said, George left a gift to the university, and he wanted to talk about it. And, of course, in my own mind, I was thinking a few thousand dollars.
You were holding the same position,
yeah,
right?
He was holding the same position as I was, and I thought, that'd be great. Have a seat, Clarence, and let's talk about it. And so we sat down, and he said, George left almost $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I kind of put my hands on the table, and I said, wow, he must have saved his money a lot better than I did, or I have. Of course, George and his wife were childless, and then so he wanted to give back to the university, and his wife was also a faculty member at the university as well, and he lived modestly and saved his money, and yes, he had almost $1 million that he could put on this to the university. So we talked about an endowment, and he put his money into the endowment, and it started to grow from that point. And talked to the dean, Bobby Mosier, at that point, and he said, "Well, we want an endowed chair for this money to use the income coming off of that." They take the interest off of the endowment.
And original money stays.
Right. The original money
perpetuity
stays.
Forever.
Perpetuity. And you take the interest off of that money and you give it to a professor to be used for research, teaching, outreach activities within the college. And so we put together a search committee, and I thought, good grief, I would enjoy something like this. And I asked the dean if I could put my hat in the ring, and he said, well, why not? It's going to be up in the department you're tenured in. He says, no favoritism or anything.
Right.
You'll be put up against everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, long story short, I was fortunate enough to get the nod for this endowed chair. So I've had this endowment and I've had this money. It's amounted to about $80,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it on graduate students and put it right back in into the department to be used for students working on their degree and to become teachers themselves.
Right.
And then I've used most of it for that, and then a little bit for other leadership activities within the college. Somebody puts in a proposal to me for a leadership activity out in the county or leadership activity on the state. Then I provided a few thousand dollars for these leadership activities over the years that I've had this endowed chair. So
continue on in that role.
Yeah, continuing on in that role while I have it. But the interesting thing about this, Tom, is that George set it up, and this is a little bit unusual, too, that people might be interested in. Usually an endowment set up in a particular department and it stays within that department. Well, George, his department had been agronomy. And so but he was also interested in leadership. And so he said, we're going to set this up, and he worked, he wrote it up in such a way that the endowment changes after a certain amount of years.
Okay.
And that's every 10 years. And so the endowment has to change after 10 years, and it's, and we don't have agronomy anymore. It's Horton Crop Science.
Right.
And so the endowment now will switch to Horticulture and Crop Science, and they'll have that over $1 million endowment for 10 years. And then it has to come back to ASOL again, Agriculture, Communication, Education, and Leadership. After 10 years, it'll come back. So it's a little bit of an unusual type of an endowment where we've had it now. It'll be 10 years in June. Actually, it's up in June of this year.
Okay.
And then it has to go over to Horton Crop Science.
Okay.
And so it'll switch over there. But in the meantime, we've used it for many graduate students, many leadership activities. And then it'll go over to Horton Crop Science to be used for research over in horticulture and crop science in some areas that that George was passionate about.
Right.
So an interesting endowment.
Well, that's a bit innovative and visionary.
It is.
For someone to think that far ahead, and because, as you say, the traditional way is that once something is established, it's pretty much in that discipline forever.
They pretty well lock it in a,
right.
in one department. It stays in that department. It stays with that topic area.
Yeah.
And George actually switched topics here. Leadership, any designated leadership in ASOL, in our department, and then it switches over to an agronomic topic in Horton Crop Science.
Right. Well, that kind of gets at the mission of that department a little bit, Keith. And, of course, I know as director, you know, you're the leader for a statewide organization. As president in 88 counties, hundreds of staff, faculty members. So it's a high position of leadership. And I know that's near and dear to your heart. Obviously, you're interested in the GIST chair. But I think that we could relate that to some of our larger world in agriculture and the future and some of the problems that we face. And you know, some of these you can't confine to one discipline is going to solve them. It takes many disciplines, and that part of bringing these people with different technical expertise together requires leadership. And I think that that's one of the things that the department endeavors to do as part of its mission is to prepare leaders that can deal with diverse perspectives, diverse multifaceted problems, try to bring the resources to bear. So And I think that, you know, not only the leadership at the community level or the statewide, whatever level you want to talk about, but a lot of leadership is embodied in teaching our young people. And I know that's another area that you're very near and dear to you. And in terms of educating the next generation to take up positions in our communities, in our farms, in our agricultural organizations. So all that's embodied in things that the department tends to work on. And so I don't know if you have some comments that you'd like to make about some of these bigger issues. Global warming is one, the water quality that we're dealing with on some of these algae blooms in our Grand Lake St. Mary's in the western part of the state, the western basin of Lake Erie that we've all heard about in the news, this most recent thing with you know, water quality due to the aging infrastructure of some of the pipes in the ground. But those are just a couple of examples. Invasive species, big data is another one, and a lot of these things are being looked at from various ways, and maybe some of the capability that you're instilling in students within that are majoring in leadership and education, becoming perhaps the VOAG teachers or the professors of tomorrow. Do you have some comments you'd like to share with regarding some of the future and how we might be preparing for that?
Well, very good, Tom. yes. As you look at these multifaceted problems that we have that you enumerated on, mm-hmm. and when I first came here, well, came to Ohio State, and we started to talk, me and the department chair, about what direction I wanted to go in, and I mentioned leadership. Mm-hmm. I had minored in sociology. Mm-hmm. Majored in agriculture education, minored in sociology with an emphasis in leadership. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'd like to start a leadership course. Mm-hmm. He thought that was great. Wow. We did not have a leadership course in the college at that point. At that point, leadership, you think that's going to be over in business or, you know, student association, mm-hmm. et cetera. Mm-hmm. College of Agriculture, leadership. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of pushback I got when I started to talk across campus about establishing a leadership course. Mm-hmm. But I pushed it through, and I got it approved with the provision that was called agricultural leadership. Oh. And because business college didn't want me to just put plain leadership and be competing against mm-hmm. them. I was fine with that because, as you indicated, we need leadership in agriculture.
Sure.
Absolutely. So I started the course way back in the early 80s, and the course has grown from just one course, it eventually evolved into two courses, mm-hmm. and now it's a minor in our department. Mm-hmm. And we have minors, kids taking this minor all over campus,
come from other
Colleges,
right.
other departments that are taking it now in our department. And here again, we're being recognized as an important center for leadership studies now in our college, which I won my dream.
The vision becomes reality.
Yeah, the vision becomes reality, and we started the leadership center
right.
In our college. I started that, in matter of fact, a reconstructed men's restroom.
I recall.
On campus, and that leadership center has grown now, and we provide leadership training out of that center, mm-hmm. and the GIST chair supports that as well. Now, you got into youth, absolutely. This is where it has to start, and 4-H has been all about that. 4-H was started with, in mind, originally corn clubs, and canning clubs for girls mm-hmm. that A.B. Graham started in 1903. But that has grown now, 250,000 kids in Ohio, one of the largest programs in the state, with the main concentration in citizenship of our young people, living skills, and leadership. And trying to help these young people to see the importance not only of agriculture, but the big world around them.
Right, right. Right.
But, of course, I come from the standpoint we need leaders in agriculture. And I've mentioned this before, that we have 57,900 jobs available in agriculture, according to the USDA, for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, we have 35,000 graduates.
It's a big gap.
It's a big gap.
Big gap.
And so trying to help these youth, especially through our 4-H program, because they have this flavor of agriculture, to try to move them into agriculture and become the future leaders, it's just imperative. It's just so vital, so important that we keep this industry moving in a positive direction because of the things you mentioned, the climate change and the water problems we have. You say the algal blooms in Lake Erie. Well, look in California to the drought situation that we had out there.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we deal with these water issues and the microcystin, that the poison that's in Lake Erie that kept 400,000 people from drinking the water in 2014 in Toledo? We need leaders in agriculture to deal with these types of issues.
Right. And I think that the very well said. And I think that when you mention those number of jobs, I'm not sure whether that's qualified by the degree of preparation for those 57,000, whether all those require college education or...
They were bachelor degree required.
They would be.
Most all of them are bachelor's degree required, and so that's why we're saying 35,000 graduates, and we have these bachelor required degrees in agriculture, 57,900. Look at this gap.
It's remarkable.
In our college, Tom... 92% of the graduates have a job within 6 months of their graduation. It's phenomenal.
It's absolutely.
And over $41,000 salary.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
That's right.
In today's
that's
world.
The another aspect of the department is teacher preparation, though, for vocational agriculture instructors and ag technical kinds of things, that some of those students may still return to the farm, may prepare them on to come to Ohio State or further their education. We realize it can go both ways, but that's a critical aspect of what happens within the program as well at ASIL, is the ag teacher preparation, I think.
That's still one of the major focus, and it's not just ag teachers, our extension educators, too. That's another focus of the department. So it's preparing those VOAG teachers, it's preparing extension educators in our department, people that want to be teachers in our system. And that's so important. I mean, that's the way I started out. I started out as a VOAG teacher many, many years ago. Enjoyed it, loved it. And I've always loved teaching. That's why I wanted to be with the university, because I enjoy so much the teaching aspect of being with the university and the bright young minds, and it just kind of keeps you awake and alive. And
keeps you thinking,
learning.
New.
Yes.
Yep. They bring something new.
Everyone. Something new and something fun. It's every day being with the university. So yes, getting these young people into these professions as well is another vital important thing that we do within the department.
Well, Keith, there's another aspect to your portfolio of activities at the national level. And you mentioned to me that you've been assigned as the selected and have accepted a role as the leader for innovation in extension at the national level. And that's taken some time and getting that organized and off the ground. You care to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, just a little bit about that, Tom. My wife's retired, really. When I came home, I've been to a national meeting reporting on some research that I did through the GIST chair to the National Extension Directors. This is just soon after I retired. This was in October of last year, and I retired, as you mentioned, July 1st. And I reported on this research that we need more innovation in the system, in extension. And we need more creativity. We need to be on the cutting edge of everything that we do in extension. And they received the report, read through the report, and then 2 weeks later I got a call, Tom, and said, Keith, how would you like to head up a national task force on innovation and extension and provide some recommendations to the system on how we can incorporate more innovation in the system?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I went home and I talked to my wife and I said, dear, they've asked me to lead up this national task force. They promised it wouldn't take too much time. And she looked at me and rolled her eyes. And yes, she was right, I was wrong. It's taking a lot more time than what I thought, but it's a passion that I have, and I'm very willing to contribute my leadership expertise to this national task force. We've got people from all across the country involved that have been involved in extension. And looking at this, again, the issue, how can we increase innovation in the extension system, cutting-edge technology, cutting-edge programs, cutting-edge activities that do just what we've talked about to help
this next generation attack those big problems.
And attack big problems, exactly right.
Yeah. Well, I think they've obviously selected well.
Well, we'll see.
With your experience, Keith, and the time and the leading one of the major extension systems in the country here in Ohio, and it's obviously why you would rise to this opportunity, and we look forward to hearing more about what your recommendations are, and I'm sure being this close to home that we're in a position to hear some of those.
You'll be hearing it
a little bit in advance.
The current director of extension, Roger Innekamp, I've talked to him. I said, you'll be one of the first to know some of the recommendations because there's still a passion here for Ohio State and OSU Extension. And if I want any system to be innovative, it's going to be ours.
Good. Hopefully that in areas, we're probably not there yet. I think that's one of those things that you're constantly trying to keep up with. Which is the nature of innovation is the next thing, and trying to anticipate a little bit, but at the same time, you can't be a laggard for very long and expect to remain viable.
No, exactly right, Tom. And that's, as you know, when I was the director, I had you read a book, Collective Genius.
Yes, I did. All about innovation.
All about innovation, and we took a chapter a month and discussed that as an administrative cabinet before I retired. And I've had you read books on leadership before that, too, the administrative cabinet. I just thought leadership, innovation was so important to be constantly on the back of our minds. And so it's a natural passion for me that I'll continue to push.
Absolutely. Depending on it, and I don't think anybody's going to doubt that. Keith, we've just run out of time so quickly, it seems, and yet we've just scratched the surface. And so once again, as we do wrap up, we appreciate you coming down, investing this time with us. Hopefully even what we're doing here is a bit of innovation in terms of how we try to get the good message out about what we're doing and what extension is and what kind of activities are going on within our college along with Rio Grande here. So we would need to sign off at this point, and thank you for watching, and we look forward to being back again with another South Center's chat. Thanks again, Keith Smith, the College of Food, Ag, and Environmental Science for being our guest today. Thanks, everyone.